to be imprisoned on his return from exile. His sister no longer has any reason to try to pardon him. Twice a week, Jinhua, Murtaza's wife, used to prepare a meal to improve the diet he got in jail. During one of these visits, we asked him what he thought of the way his sister had treated him.
Said that the relation is not personal, this is all politics. And of course he's shocked with the way he's treated, because he remembers how she was treated during Ziaul-Haq's time. She had been given a parole then to attend her sister's wedding, Sanam. And then her husband, during Nawaz Sharif's time, who's the opposition leader now, again was given paroles either to attend his daughter's birthday or to go to Islamabad and be with the family and all that. But him, he hasn't been given a parole even to see his, to go to his father's grave after 16 years.
I think maybe she may be acting from a high moral ground, in the sense that she's put in a difficult position, that as prime minister of the country, she has to be above this. And so she's taken a conscious decision that she will not interfere in this matter. I personally believe that her brother is not being given justice.
Whether out of vengeance or for reasons of state, Benazir is using the crisis to take firm control of her party. Her mother, who was joint president of the party, was eased out. When she was in opposition, Benazir often took advice from Margaret Thatcher. Today she displays the same kind of steely resolve. Her opponents accuse her of having become an autocrat. But now, her opponents include a woman as formidable as she is, her own mother.
There can only be a reconciliation if she gives me back my chairmanship. Not otherwise. And she's not prepared to give it back to me. Anyway, I say I am the chairman. And I work as chairman. I do everything that I was doing before, earlier, I'm doing still now.
Two opposing camps are now contesting Ali Bhutto's political inheritance. It's Benazir versus her mother and brother. Ali Bhutto's widow has continuity on her side. The poor still come to her to ask for help, as they did when her husband was alive. At this stage, Murtaza has not yet won enough supporters to take over power from Benazir. But in Pakistan, political alliances are made and undone very swiftly. Everything can change from one day to the next. In June 1994, Murtaza's supporters scored a first victory. Their leader was freed by the courts for lack of evidence. Now he is free to wage the battle for power himself. It's a battle whose reasons Benazir still does not understand.
I can't believe that this younger brother of mine, to whom I gave so much affection, who I looked after when he was young, I was close to my father. If there was something he wanted, or there was something even my mother wanted, they would say, Pinky, go and ask father. And I would go up. Even when it was my mother's 25th wedding anniversary and she wanted a particular gift, it was always, Pinky, go and do this. So I was always the little slave, going doing this for them, going and doing that for them, looking after them throughout these years. I was in prison in 1981, all alone, when my mother left, all alone. There was not a single member of the Bhutto family here, not my sister, not my brother, not my mother. I was so alone. I can't capture for you, living in 70 Clifton in prison, living in Al Murtaza, and not having my own relatives to visit me. But I faced it because I promised my father that I would continue his mission. And when I looked after all their homes and all their things, that they should then turn out and wish to hurt me and hit out at me, it's something which is incomprehensible.
But according to those close to the family, there is an explanation. Benazir's husband, Asif, is a man surrounded by controversy. Nicknamed Mr. 10% by his many enemies, he is accused of using his position for personal gain and to extend his influence.
Obviously, being a husband, he acquires a certain status, and then he tries to control the state machinery from that position. And then people realize that that is where the power is, so they all flock towards him. And he begins to make decisions on major policy issues.
I stood there and faced all the charges and won all my cases. Unfortunately, if it was another country, once you've been acquitted by the court, you stand acquitted. But now the opposition as such is trying to come up with fresh accusations with nothing proven last time. They still want to accuse. And basically, it's more of an offense for their own defense. The age-old reason that, you know, offense is the best defense.
Benazir, for one, does not doubt her husband's word. She sees another explanation, her mother's hostility towards her.
I remember how she said her own family longed for a son. And when a son was born, they would coddle him and spoil him. And now I remember that she always said how disappointed everybody else had been when I was born because I was a girl. And how she had longed for a son to give her security. And I wonder, was everybody else disappointed? Or was she perhaps disappointed? Because perhaps in her own culture, a son was more important than a daughter.
Benazir did not expect to have to face this kind of prejudice within her own family. Her father, after all, had been the first to give women more freedom. When she was a child, Ali Bhutto said to her, "This land is our cradle and our grave. You too will lie here one day." He did not foresee that his family would fight on this sacred soil. Benazir knows there is a place waiting for her in the small cemetery in Lakhana, in the plot where her ancestors are buried. What she does not know is whether, for the first time in the history of her family, she, a woman, will occupy a place of honor, whether she will become a legend like her father, who is believed by locals to perform miracles near his tomb. There is a danger that instead, she will simply become one more victim of the political violence in her country.
I'm in danger from different types of elements, from fanatics, from political opponents who fear the popular base of the PPP, the party I lead, and extremists from our neighboring country and India. So there are many, many targets. But I don't dwell on that because I feel that a time of death is written and one can't do anything about it. One can die by a motor car accident. One can die of a heart attack, or one can die through an assassination attempt.
These words were an echo from 1994. Her brother was assassinated on September 20th, 1996. To this day, no one knows by whom. In 1999, a new coup brought back the military, this time under the leadership of General Musharraf. For Benazir, this meant prison and finally exile. After 8 years of exile, Benazir Bhutto returned on October 18, 2007 to take part in the January 2008 parliamentary elections. Musharraf was still in charge, and rumor had it that Washington would impose a power-sharing deal between her as prime minister and Musharraf as president. But on the very day of her return, she was reminded that not everyone in Pakistan was a friend.
I don't believe that any true Muslim will make an attack on me.
Musharraf, as a result of his alliance with George Bush, was heavily criticized in his own country. In particular in the regions bordering Afghanistan, where the Taliban had solid strongholds. Still, just before Benazir's return, he succeeded in winning the presidential elections, promising to exchange his uniform for civilian clothes. He kept his promise, at least on the surface, when on November 28, 2007, he handed over the reins to General Ashfaq Kiani. But he continued to oppress the opposition and confined Benazir to her residence.
and we are prepared to risk our liberty, but we are not prepared to surrender our great nation to the militants.
When, under the pressure of the international community, Musharraf was forced to end Benazir's confinement, she returned to the election campaign with renewed strength. Polls were unanimous. She was about to triumph once again. But on December 27th, tragedy struck. A suicide bomb exploding during one of her election meetings ended her life. And with it, hopes for a swift return to democracy in Pakistan. A third force, Islamic fundamentalism, has entered the power game and changed the rules. For the Taliban, a hostile government in Islamabad can only upset their plan to reconquer neighboring Afghanistan. Political chaos, on the other hand, can only assist them to transform their malevolent plans into reality. During the days that followed the assassination, Benazir's much-criticized husband, Azif, and her student son, Bilawal, were elected joint leaders of her party, and a few weeks later won the elections. Together with another civilian party, they formed a coalition government and attempted to restore democracy. Some observers feel that Benazir has posthumously won the struggle for power in Pakistan.